The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Connect with ultra-fast speeds and our best ever Wi-Fi all around your home.
Well, Sinead and Mike O'Rahilly, good morning to you both.
Good morning, Ryan.
And when I say let's start at the beginning, I want to start at the beginning of your lives together. Would that be okay? And tell us about how you met and where you met. Give us all the gorgeous details.
I suppose many years ago, when we were in school, I was, as a part-time job at the weekend, I was working in a local petrol station, giving up petrol in the old days. And there was a shop in the garage as well. And Sinead was helping her brother, who was delivering bread to the shop, and Sinead and myself struck up a relationship more or less straight away.
This is way back now, way back. I'd say late 80s, late 80s, early 90s, Ryan, so yes. Many moons ago.
And
so,
do you remember it the same way, Sinead?
I do indeed. I was very young, Ryan. I was probably only about 14 and Mike was 18. And I suppose it really was love at first sight. I knew more or less from day one that Mike was the one for me, even though it took us a while to get together. I did a pre-nursing course in Dublin in Marina College, and Mike was studying journalism, would you believe?
In Newman College.
Yeah, in Newman College. And Mike asked me out on a date as soon as he heard that I had started a pre-nursing course up there. And from that day on, we were kind of inseparable, really, yeah. Ryan.
It was meant to be, friends. It was meant to be.
It was meant to be, definitely. And we really haven't left each other's sides since that day.
And when you got engaged in 1999, was that a big affair or was it low-key?
No, we're low-key people, really.
Exactly, yeah.
We did celebrate it, but it was low-key. It was in January. And we had a lovely night celebrating with a few friends, but it was very low-key.
Good.
And we planned our wedding for 2001. But in the meantime, Mike was in a car accident. So Mike was working in Dublin. But when I got my general nurse training in Cork, Mike followed me down to Cork. And Mike was in a car accident in October of 2000.
Yep.
And I suppose that's really when things started to change for us, Ryan.
Yeah, I understand. And can you tell me as much as possible about the car accident without prying too much, just in terms of what happened and the impact it had?
I was actually working nights myself in a firm in Cork.
Mm-hmm.
And I was finished my shift and just driving just out the gate from work, and a car just ploughed into the side of the car. So
Mike was left with injuries, nothing life-threatening or anything too serious.
Yeah.
But I was getting very concerned and worried, so I asked for an MRI scan to be done because Mike's lower limbs were very much affected and he was complaining of chronic back pain at this stage. And this was going into 2001.
Mm.
And Mike, after many tests and investigations, was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. Now, at that stage, I have to say multiple sclerosis was nearly a relief because Mike was showing signs that could have been anything. His lower limbs were exceptionally weak, and a diagnosis of multiple sclerosis to me was better than a diagnosis of a brain tumour.
Mm.
And he was diagnosed just 2 months before we were due to get married. But, I suppose we just got on with that diagnosis.
Yeah. And did you have conversations about getting married, given the diagnosis? I mean, did you feel you had to confront that before the wedding, or was it all roads steam ahead?
Prior to, we were looking forward to so much, but after the accident, I don't know, I was a bit... I wasn't too sure whether it would be suitable for it to go ahead at all to the truth after that.
Yeah, he actually wanted to postpone the wedding or call the wedding off, Ryan. He
really?
Was quite
upset,
thought he was going to be a huge burden.
Definitely.
On me, really. But sure, I was having none of it, you know. I sat down and had a conversation with Mike, you know, that I loved him no matter what. And, you know, the wedding went ahead on the 18th of August, Good 2001.
Good.
Now, bear in mind, Mike was in hospital right up to the Friday and we got married on the Saturday, Ryan.
The day after.
So it really was. It was meant to be, without a doubt. And we had a great day. 175 people turned up to the wedding and we danced. And we had just had a great,
great day. Fabulous day.
With many great memories.
I feel like I'm at the wedding, the way you're discussing it.
It sounds like,
it was a kind of magical night for everyone, obviously.
It was indeed. Many last minute changes, but everything went off so smoothly, I have to say. You know, a lot of people pulled together, I suppose, and it was brilliant.
Well, let's bring our story on a little bit, if that's okay with
perfect.
You,
yes,
Sinead and Mike. And over the 10 years together, you had two children, Luke and Ava, is that right?
That's right.
But I think we need to go to the summer of 2017 in some ways. Would you like to take us there and tell us what was happening there?
Okay, so I suppose over the 10 years, Mike would have had relapsing remitting MS, Ryan, and he did quite well, you know. He was on a lot of different immunosuppressive drugs, which helped his MS. And we had great support from Multiple Sclerosis Ireland, local branch. And Luke and Ava were teenagers at this stage. Well, Luke was 13 and Ava was 10. Mike had been working and then he had to stop work due to complications of his MS, and he was at home quite a lot with the kids. So, you know, he was brilliant with the kids and they were very lucky to have their dad at home. And I was working away nursing. So we had a great balance and we were a great team and we were happy-go-lucky for the most part. I suppose my father was in the background as well now, Ryan. I should mention that. We lived next door to my parents and my father was absolutely brilliant to
magnificent.
Us.
Magnificent.
He was a huge support. My father passed away in 2007.
Okay, I'm sorry, Em.
Yeah, and you know, I suppose that was another big change. In 2017 is when everything really changed for us. I was diagnosed with chronic cluster headaches. I don't know if you've heard of chronic cluster headaches,
Ryan. I haven't, but I can't imagine the pain.
Yeah, they're also known as suicide headaches. So now, I had never ever suffered a headache before 2016. So I was eventually diagnosed in 2017 and I had tried every available treatment here in Ireland. And eventually I was told I would have to travel to London. And of course, I needed to go to London to get the help, so I was willing to go. But I had noticed changes in Mike. I had noticed his personality was changing, that he wasn't the same man I married.
What way, Sinead? Do you mind me asking?
Well, his personality was, I suppose, the biggest part of it. You know, sometimes it was like being married to a stranger. I suppose he was very... He would find social occasions very challenging. We often had to cancel events last minute, such as birthday parties, any social gatherings at all, even funerals we may not be able to attend.
Because?
Mike would get very worked up about being in a crowd.
Okay.
He could get lost in a crowd very easily, even in familiar
places.
Even in familiar places, Mike,
What does worked up mean?
His mood would change very, very quickly from being calm to... aggressive, Ryan. He could call me names, abusive names, which wasn't Mike at all. Mike has a very calm, gentle nature. But one day in particular, now I was blaming myself, Ryan, for a lot of this because I was unwell and I thought I was putting huge pressure on Mike, you know. And then after a while, I was realising, no, that this can't be just me. And in the summer of 2017, there was... really without any known trigger, there was an episode where Mike became physically violent towards me. Now, in all our years together, Ryan, Mike had never been physically violent towards me. And this happened in front of Luke and Ava. And poor Luke had to actually stop Mike from seriously hurting me. Now, Mike did hurt me. But it could have been a lot worse if Luke wasn't there to stop him. And what made this even more tragic is that the next day, Mike had no recollection of what happened. And Luke and Ava questioned Mike on it the next day because I couldn't even talk. I'm probably into a state of shock, Ryan.
Of course.
And when I did confront Mike and sat down and realised that we had a huge problem, a huge issue, And I swore on that day that I would get help. I sat with Mike, I sat with Luke and Eva, and I promised. It was on a Saturday, I remember the day well. And I sat them down and I said, we're going to get help. So on the Saturday, on the Monday morning, I rang the GP, I rang the public health nurse, and I rang Mike's neurology team in the CUH in Cork, and we got an appointment for the Thursday.
I think it's amazing, if I may interject, that you are clearly the captain of the ship here, and for you to pull it all together is one thing, but also to be talking here today so frankly with Mike, who sounds, Mike, you sound like a total gentleman to me.
Cheers.
I really mean that. And you were obviously possessed by this illness we're going to discuss now that transformed you from being mild-mannered Mike that we were, that we know and love, to this other person.
Yeah.
And very difficult for even for you, Sinead, to bring us back there. But let's get to the diagnosis, I suppose, and try and figure out what the hell happened.
Yes. Yeah, it is hard, Ryan. It's hard to talk about it still.
Yeah.
But of course, it must be very, very hard for Mike to listen to this. You know, he understands that it's not Mike, it's the illness. We tell him every day.
Sure.
You know, that it's only a tiny part of Mike. And we don't blame Mike at all for what happens.
Good.
But I suppose the big thing here is that Mike is so young, you know. So we went to the hospital and Mike was seen by several doctors that day. And I suppose alarm bells did start ringing in my head, but my nursing background. So we went to the hospital at 11:30 and at 6:30 that evening, we met a neurologist, and the neurologist he actually asked me if I'd ever considered that Mike may have dementia. At 45, Ryan.
3 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. And I just turned around and said, I hadn't considered it for 1 minute, which I hadn't. I had never considered that my husband of 45 could have dementia, you know. I just thought it was a complication of his MS or maybe due to seizure activity, but never for 1 minute did I think that Mike could have dementia.
Which is for, in our heads, older people.
Older people, yeah. For, you know, our grandparents,
yes.
You know. But no, unfortunately, there were 55,000 people in Ireland with dementia and 4,000 under the age of 65 have dementia.
Really? I didn't know that number. Gosh,
yes,
okay.
It's quite a lot.
It is.
So
how do you process that news? I put this to both of you. I mean, when you're told, look, here's the reality of it. What do you do with that information?
It's a total shock. You just, you know, the things, they're just so normal. So basically before, all of a sudden, this out of the blue, like, you know, it's just a total jolt.
And I suppose for us, it was a quick diagnosis, you know, Ryan. It was very quick, even though Mike would have had a neurological disorder beforehand, it was still a very quick diagnosis, you know, and it was a huge shock. But yet we had to deal with it, you know. It was our journey. It was the four of us.
Yeah.
And we had to deal with this, Ryan.
And was the system, or is the system, equipped to handle a prognosis like this for a man as young as Mike?
Well, it was then that we found out, even with my nursing background, that it's a huge journey to go on. And we found out that there are very few services available for somebody under the age of 65 in Ireland. And no matter how many times we knocked on doors, a lot of them were closed in our face. And that was due to Mike's young age. It was due to the fact that he was under 65. You know, we can say people over 65 come up against the odds, but people under 65, in Mike's case, came up against the odds. And it was very, very tough. But we kept fighting. We kept fighting because we had to, and there were days, and I certainly hit rock bottom, and
we all did the first
You know, and we sat at home, and the lads could see me hitting rock bottom, and then we had to pull it together. So we sat at home, the four of us, and I researched, Ryan. I researched everything I could on dementia. The National Dementia Strategy stated clearly back in 2014 that they had care packages put together for people of Mike's age and younger than Mike's age.
Good.
But initially, every application that we applied for was denied. So in February of 2018, I asked for everybody that was involved in Mike's care come and sit down together and we talk about Mike's care needs. And I presented each member at that team meeting with a care plan that Mike and Luke and Ava and I had put together so that Mike could stay at home. Because the only other option that was given to us was that Mike should go into a long care facility such as a dementia-specific hospital or a nursing home.
That you weren't having any of that, Sinead.
I wasn't.
Which is more sort of the last thing we wanted.
They actually booked a bed at one stage, Mike. Really? I don't know if Mike remembers this, but they booked a bed for Mike in a local hospital that was dementia-specific. And I clearly stated over my dead body, would Mike go into a long-term care facility when Mike's wishes were to stay at home?
Most certainly.
You know, definitely. And
how were your headaches, Sinead? Do they go? I'm just kind of so conscious of those because they sounded profoundly horrible.
Oh, Ryan, they were exceptionally bad. Oh, and God. Think I had to travel over and back to London once a month in the middle of this. But I did. I kept going. I wanted to give up in the middle of it. But I kept going and my headaches are so much better now because God. I kept going.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question, Mike?
Yeah.
Are you aware of your memory and your absences in your memory, or do you just go day to day?
I go day to day, but I find very much nowadays that my short-term memory and so on is a big problem.
Do you find yourself getting frustrated trying to remember things?
Very much so. Very much so, yeah.
And what do you do to keep yourself active in terms of the brain and memory, if you like?
I've been just doing different things, keep myself active around the house, just doing gardening and so on, things like that. I'm actually fairly house proud, so I'd be doing a lot of stuff inside the house and so on.
And are you any use with the quiz or crossword?
Yeah, actually, I like them very, very much.
I thought you might.
Very, very much.
Yeah.
I'm very, very much into media, into news, newspapers, television, and so on.
And here's a strange question. For you: what do you miss about memory?
I suppose, again, as I say, it's a short. It's the frustration of say something that I might have been told about 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago, and might have forgotten.
Okay. You know,
just things that the frustration of it.
And can I ask you about, this is not a very nice question, but I will ask it and you don't have to answer it.
Yeah.
What's your fear for the future?
My fear is that it'll get a lot worse. You know, that my long-term fear is that it's going to get so bad later on in time that I might be told, given no choice, but to go into a residential care home. Like, I don't want that at all.
What's your? Let me ask you a more positive question. What's your hope for the future?
Just to carry on, like as I am, for as long as best as I can, and at home, this home care package that Sinead and Luke and myself went and has been such a huge help, massive help.
And now that we have it, it won't be taken off us. You know, it's brilliant.
Which is great.
So Mike is secure at home. And he lives such an active, healthy life at home. And he's an amazing dad and husband. But the kids are equally amazing with Mike. They're so blessed with Luke and Ava. And I suppose young family carers can be taken for granted.
Yes.
But they have such an understanding of Mike's illness, you know. And again, no, it's only part of their dad. But they're just amazing young people.
Yeah.
But like to think, you know, that our family could have been torn apart. But because of a home care package, Mike's carers are just amazing.
Wonderful.
And to all of us, not just to Mike, they're amazing to all of us. We're blessed.
That's tremendous.
We just don't take it for granted at all.
No, I can sense that. I can hear it in your voice. You're a very kind and grateful person. And if I may ask you, are you working, Sinead, now? Or are you full-time at home?
I give up my nursing career, Ryan.
Okay.
Because of headaches as well now. But, you know, I'm very glad to be at home with Mike, you know. Okay. I'm really, really lucky to be able to stay at home and mind Mike. And equally, Mike minds me, you know. There's two of us in this together. I suppose, Ryan, you know, a big thing in this is there are lots of other people out there like us, maybe not with dementia, but, you know, there are many different types of dementia, maybe not frontotemporal lobe like Mike has. And I suppose for anybody listening there today that might have been in a situation like us, it can be very frightening. And I suppose what I will say is there's help out there, you know, and just not to be afraid to make that call. We made the call and it gives you proper information. And proper information is good information, you know.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah.
Be wary of Dr. Google. Just go to the right places and don't
frighten
yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
I noticed that the Alzheimer's Society of Ireland's Memory Tree campaign is moving along and you can leave a dedication to
a loved one. Yes.
Which is a lovely thing to do.
Yeah, and that's one that I left a memory of Dad and Mike. It was a happy day and a very precious day and a precious memory. Yeah.
Lovely.
And so you can add a memory on that and leave a donation. If you like,
That's memorytree.ie,
and any information that you need can be got on www.alzheimers.ie, and their helpline, which is hugely important, is 1-800-341-341.
I think, if I may say so, having spoken to you both for the first time this morning, it is striking that despite the darkness of what's been dealt to you hand-wise, there's a contentment and a happiness that you have as a quartet at home, not to mention the dogs, that,
exactly.
that is actually conquering the baddies.
Yeah.
You're winning this.
Yes.
The positivity.
Yes.
Very much, which is, thanks be to God, is overrunning the negativity like of it. Like that.
That's what the whole country needs, not to mention the
world.
Will you have a happy Christmas?
We look forward to Christmas.
We love
Christmas, Ryan. It's a big part of our year and we look forward to it. So,
The Tie Show,
of course, kicked it all off. We have to say that.
it was very, very good.
It was brilliant. Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, we had a lot of fun doing it now, I must say. But I'm glad
very,
you liked
very enjoyable.
It. Will you tell Luke and Ava I said hello, please?
We will indeed. Thank you so much.
And to you and your families. And hopefully when it all calms down, we'll meet in Cork someday and we'll catch up with your story. I'd love to do that.
Lovely. Thank you, Ryan.
Hey, happy Christmas.
Sinead and
Mike. Very same to you.
Real pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you so much.
Sinead and Mike O'Rahilly joining us with their story. I just think they seem like beautiful people, to be honest with you, and I really enjoyed talking to them today. Memorytree.ie if you'd like to make a donation and leave a memory. It's a lovely thing to do, but that was a salutary tale. I really enjoyed their company this morning. The text number 51551.